Did you see the thing I said about smelting? I was like, excuse me, what?
There are some very particular traditions associated with smelting, are there not?
Like I said, I had some of those memories that were fond and some that were not so fond.
That sounds like an innuendo for sex. What are we talking about?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour today on this Monday, March 6th. And we are very excited for our next topic. But first, just a reminder, there's only 29 days until the spring election. We are, as of tomorrow, 4 weeks away.
Super important.
In case those political ads have not reminded you yet that it is upon us. It is a sprint to the election. You can check out everything, all things voting, on myvote.wi.gov. I checked this morning. You can see everything that's on your ballot. You can see, if you haven't gotten your absentee ballot request in, you can do that. You can check your registration. You can still register to vote until March 15th online. All of your things you can get done there, but 4 weeks from tomorrow. So, topically, our guests this hour, or this segment, are helping other people who are living abroad still vote and vote in Wisconsin. And so our guests are both from Democrats Abroad. Annie Grawl is on the Wisconsin State team and is coming in from Barcelona, Spain. And Liz Blackburn is also Wisconsin Abroad team member, and she is calling from China. So what time is it there, ladies?
2 a.m. in Shanghai. Anything for Wisconsin.
And Annie?
7 p.m. here.
Wow. And it is noon here. Thank you for, especially Liz. This was, are you usually up this late or is it just special for us?
This is how we get out the vote. And we're big fans. You probably didn't know you had worldwide following, but here we are. Annie said, hey, let's reach out. I really like these guys.
Oh, well, we're so yeah, and it was true. Us. I think it was on Twitter that Annie and I got connected as far as Wisconsin Dems Abroad. And I said, come on the show. Let's talk about it, because I feel like we sometimes are navel gazers and just thinking about the people in Wisconsin, trying to get them to vote. But I think we lose sight of how many people are voting who are still registered to vote in Wisconsin, still legally allowed to vote in Wisconsin, and yet live in China or live in Spain or live all over the world. And so let's talk more, I guess, first, just what Democrats Abroad is and does.
Sure. So Democrats Abroad is one of the 57 state parties of the DNC. So the DNC actually includes all 50 states, plus the six territories, and then Democrats Abroad. And we have 8 voting members who go to the Democratic Convention to vote for the candidate for president. And we hold our own global presidential primary every four years. So we're actually an official part of the Democratic Party.
And kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It really is a big deal.
Realize that it was basically the same status as each state and the different territories. This is news to me.
Yep. And our number one mission is getting out the vote among overseas Americans, because all U.S. citizens have the right to vote, but a lot of people who live abroad don't know they have that right, or if they know they do, they don't know how to do it. So our mission is to help those people cast their vote every 4 years or every 2 years and make sure that they can exercise their right as citizens.
And so, because my first question becomes, when we think about, and this is all elections, this is not just presidential or midterms, like in local elections, obviously, like the one that's coming up. So as long as they're registered to vote at an address in Wisconsin, they can still vote for school boards, they can vote for mayor, they can vote for county boards and everything?
You want to take this part, Liz?
Oh, boy. Well, this is where it gets a little complicated.
Okay.
Wisconsin Wisconsin prides itself, if you look at the MOVE Act, which Annie will maybe touch on later, Military and Overseas Voter Act, on being super progressive and empowering to us abroad. They give us our ballots via fax or email or snail mail, as per the usual, and they think that speeds up time for us. But actually, there's a few little hurdles in between, like intending to return. Now, when you live abroad, you have to usually have a visa to live abroad, right? And so those get renewed, like in China, every year. So it might be in my mind that I want to return and I'm going to move back to Wisconsin this summer. I love summer in Wisconsin. I might be here or sitting in Paris and saying, hey, I'm good for a while. I don't know if I intend to return, or I might never return. I'm going to retire here. Well, that changes if you can vote on what in Wisconsin? At the state and local level. It also potentially impacts taxes. That's another thing. It's a little different per person, but really that intend to return is something that is a big part of our work at Wisconsinites Abroad. So if you intend to return like I do, you can vote in these state and local elections.
Interesting. So yeah, I would imagine that is a lot of what you as an organization do, is clarifying questions for people as they come up and say, I want to vote. Where do I fall of what I can vote in, how I get my information? And so is that a huge part of this for you, both of you?
Well, absolutely. And with that first question, how long do you intend to, you know, have this podcast, right? What's your 5-year plan? Think about that and answering that when you're filling out, do I want to register to vote against, say, this MAGA candidate who's an election denier? Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the other challenges that we don't, as people who live here, don't necessarily think of as far as whether it's the United States or Wisconsin specifically as like obstacles to voting when you are living abroad?
So the thing about voting for, as a U.S. citizen from overseas, our right to vote is protected by a law that's called UOCAVA, and that was approved in 1986 and signed into law actually by President Reagan, and it covers the right to vote from abroad of U.S. overseas military, their family members, and all other private U.S. citizens who are living abroad. So federally, the right to vote is protected by this law. And then all 50 states have their own interpretation from there on down because the states are who administer the elections. So as Democrats Abroad, we can help our members or any other overseas citizens who want to help, who want to vote. We can help them to register to vote in federal elections. The problem is when they come to the state-specific questions. And that's why in 2020, we started to form these teams that are state-specific because our volunteers were being asked to learn election laws for 50 different jurisdictions, basically. And it was just way too much for them to know. So now we have, for the most important swing states, and the decisive states like Florida, New York, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, we have state teams now. And we're helping our members to jump through all the hoops in the right order so that they can vote, because it's not easy. So one of the challenges that we have is getting our ballots back. The UOCAVA provisions were modified in 2009 by a second amendment that was called MOVE, the Military and Overseas Voter Empowerment Act. And that act provided for our ballots to be sent to us by email, because before that, they were sent to us by postal mail. And for somebody like Liz, who lives in China, where the mail is not necessarily always real reliable, it wasn't always possible to receive your ballot, fill it out, and get it back in time. Wisconsin is the state that requires all ballots to be returned by postal mail, which in 2020 during the pandemic was another really big challenge because a lot of the mail systems weren't even working. So one of the things that we have to work around is getting our ballots back in time. The MOVE Act allows for our ballots to be sent to us by email if we request to have them sent by email, but we still have to stick them in an envelope and send them back by postal mail. In 2020, the U.S. legislature, or the Wisconsin legislature, passed a law saying that every voter had to return their ballot personally, You couldn't return anybody else's mm-hmm. ballot for you. That's ballot harvesting, right? So think about somebody who lives in Panama that has really bad mail service right now, and they have three people in the same house. They have to all send their ballots back separately. And if that involves using FedEx to ensure that your ballot's going to get back, that involves spending $50 per ballot to go back, because you can't even sit them and send them back in the same envelope because of ballot harvesting. So there's a lot of...
What you're not being able to see, unless you're watching the live stream, both Jane and I are like slack-jawed right now of like having to spend that much money just in order to vote.
It almost feels like don't want people to be able to vote easily. It's just so odd.
It's like a poll tax.
100%. You know, it's exactly what it is. And in your February 2022 breakdown, where you asked, how long did you stand in that poll, you know, in that waiting line, waiting to vote on the 21st in that primary? We're waiting weeks. First, we have to get that ballot to drop. And in federal elections, that's 45 days before an election that it could drop via email, much longer if it's a mail request. And then it takes 5-6 weeks, if we're lucky, to get our mail back home, even if we use a consular pouch. In 2021, it cost me $63 to courier my, which is FedEx, DHL, what have you, UPS, to get my ballot to the primary election counters in District 1, where I vote in Wisconsin, $63. And then I used the fall for the general election, I went through the consulate. And not only, you know, did I get it in the very first day I got my ballot, the day it dropped, I believe, was September 24th, 45 days before that election. I went in that first Monday, dropped it to drop at the consulate. It still took 5 weeks to get to Wisconsin. Goes from a secure, like, steel pouch, they call it. It's a steel box with an American flag on it. It's pretty cool. And they send it directly in their secure consular pouch straight to the U.S., and then it gets delivered by the Postal Service to Joy, what have you. It takes forever. So are we looking at $63? Are we looking at 6 weeks? Maybe it doesn't get counted. Are we looking at Wisconsin legislatures who are looking to limit that time frame for military voters from 6 weeks to 4 weeks, et cetera? We got a lot on our plate.
You guys have on your plate. And so we have to take a break right now, but we're going to keep you both through the break, through the commercial, because I still want to hear what those of us living here can do to make your jobs a little bit easier. We're talking to Annie Grawl and Liz Blackborn, who are both from Democrats Abroad, one in China, one in Spain. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking to two Wisconsin team members of Democrats Abroad, Annie Grawl and Liz Blackborn. And we are talking about some of the hurdles it takes for people who you don't necessarily think about the hurdles they have to go through, but people who can legally vote and still want to vote in Wisconsin elections, in federal U.S. elections, presidential elections. But sometimes there's some barriers to do that. And so as far as what you would like people still living at home to know, or what the ways that they could help, because actually before I ask that question, what is the rough estimate, at least people that you all work with the Wisconsin team, or even the numbers as far as people, because I think on the website it said 9 million people living abroad that are trying to vote, or what are some of the numbers that we should be aware of?
Yeah, this is tough because there isn't really any official number. So you see a lot of different numbers bouncing around. There's a government publication that's called the Election Administration and Voting Survey for 2020. And in that year, they said that there were 1.4 million military, plus 600,000 spouses and adult children, plus 2.9 million other citizens living abroad who could vote in that election. So, you know, some of those larger numbers probably also include people who are too young to vote. Mm-hmm. But those would be people of voting age. And so of those people, 1.2 million requested their overseas ballot using the UOQAVA procedure, which is the correct procedure that we're supposed to use. And of those, less than 1 million were actually returned in time and counted. So there's a big gap there still.
Yeah.
And the main reason that ballots are rejected is because they don't make it back in time, which is going back to what Liz was talking about before, about the challenges of getting our ballots returned in time. But, you know, one thing I really want to stress is that even though it's hard for us to vote, it's really important for us to vote. Because we are U.S. citizens, and we carry U.S. passports, and we travel through the world as Americans, and we also have to file taxes, even though we live in other countries. We have responsibilities as Americans, so we also have the right, and the right to vote is the most important right that we have.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I was just making a joke the other day as far as, because we vote a lot in Wisconsin. I mean, we have primaries, we have nonpartisan primaries, and then generals, we have partisan primaries and then generals. And so as someone who is also in the get out the vote game, it's like every 6 months. And so it's to do that with the added, everyone's remote, everyone lives in different countries, there's different rules for everyone. But I think before we talk about what people at home can do, what is, granted, it may not happen, but what would solve that major problem of ballots getting back in time? In both of your views?
Electronic returns would help a lot.
Yeah.
So there are 50 states that are covered by the UOQAVA legislation. 30 of those states now have electronic returns. All 50 send the ballots out by email. But only 30 of the states allow the ballots to be returned electronically. The other 20, of which Wisconsin is one, require mail return. So that would be the most important way of getting our ballots back in time.
It seems so easy. We have the technology.
It's just a silly stumbling block. You can send them out one way and that's perfectly fine, but you can't send them back that way because God only knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So then I guess for people who are listening to this, who would like to help in one way or another, what could they do? What should they know?
Go ahead, Liz.
Yeah, so right now we've got tons of people around the world who are working abroad temporarily or whatever, who have children abroad, who are studying, living, whatever, who are retired abroad. We need them to know to go to vote from abroad so they register. Wisconsin, you have to register and request your ballot every year. You might still be on the voter rolls, but if you don't request that ballot, you don't hit that deadline, as you know, is March 15th, you don't get that ballot. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. And this election is particularly important because it's a state and local election. You don't get a 45-day ballot in advance. So we have to tell voters to fill out a federal write-in ballot. We call it the FWAB or the FWAB, depending on where you're from. And it is ridiculous. You have to go through. It's a blank ballot. It's actually very helpful. But we've got to tell Sconnies what's on their ballot to begin with. If you're in District 8, did you know you have that extra election? Do you know if you have a school board election? Did you see those ridiculous last minute allowed motions that are going to be voted on in different counties and cities? Yeah, both of them. Shaking your head. It's ridiculous. So we got to tell people what's out there. And we've got some great resources on our website, democratsabroad.org/WI-USA. We got all you need for 2023, including that FWAB guide. We also have a guide about your envelopes, because not only can you and your spouse or your kids not put your ballots in the same envelope to return it, you got to use more than one. You have to have a secure envelope with your information inside. And then you have to have an envelope outside of that envelope. I mean, signatures
and a witness.
And witnesses, and oh my goodness, there's a lot. You got to go to our website. You got to go to Vote From Abroad and get everyone to fill out an FWAP today.
Or just
that
fly.
That is our big goal.
Or just fly or just, home for Pete's sake.
That sounds easier.
Pain in the neck.
All right. Well, we will connect. Feel free. I think I have everything, but feel free to follow up with me and send me all the information you would like for us to link to our show notes for today's episode, because this is super important. Like you said, friends who are living abroad, students who are studying abroad, people who you know would still want to vote. Let's get them, because we don't run out of time. Like we said, we only got 4 weeks. So let's get that information out. Liz Blackborn, Annie Grawl, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was super informative.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for keeping up the fight.
All right, Liz, go get some sleep. It's 2 a.m. there. All right, when we come back, Scott Gerard and Jesse Opoyan will join us to talk about school funding. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It'll all be all right. I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are so excited to welcome back our next guest, Sarah Godlewski, who is the former state treasurer of Wisconsin, former candidate for U.S. Senate, and founder. Is founder of Women Win Wisconsin? Is that what we're calling you?
I think that's a good title. I'll take it.
And so remind the audience, I know you were back here in October when you had first kind of launched it post-Senate campaign. And so, but remind our audience what Women Win Wisconsin is.
So Women Win Wisconsin is an organization dedicated to supporting women's rights and helping to elect women and get, quite frankly, more women at the table. Because let's face it, if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. And for me, one of the biggest issues that really was brought to light was really this whole issue on abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have had 50 years, Kristen, to make abortion the law of the land. And we knew this was holding by a shoestring, but it was never prioritized. And I think part of the reason is we just didn't have enough women at the table, because I'll tell you, we would definitely prioritize this. And here we are. Back to an 1849 abortion ban in our state where women are second class citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so the first kind of go at it as far as candidates and issues, and I know you were all in on Mandela's campaign and Tony Evers' campaign. Were there other women's campaigns that you were backing in the fall?
Yeah. So one of the things that we really spent a lot of our time on is this effort called Women Save the Veto.
Yes.
So remember, we were 6 votes away from losing the governor's veto. And so, I mean, we need to get Tony Evers elected, and thank God that we did. But if we lost the veto, we wouldn't have a goalie. Mm-hmm. And that would have been horrific. So what we did is we identified 6 women in really competitive districts across the state and sponsored these women, did events for these women, really traveled. I mean, I was up in Superior with one of the candidates that we sponsored. We did Luann Bird in Milwaukee, and we did Shanklin in the Wausau area, and Chris Alfheim in Green Bay. So we were literally everywhere trying to uplift these candidates and also remind Wisconsinites that, look, at the end of the day, if you don't have the legislature, we're not going to be able to protect democracy and get these things done. So these are women that we can focus on to help save the governor's veto.
We talked to a lot of those women last fall.
Yep, we did.
And so as far as kind of takeaways from things you learned in the fall election across the different candidates and across the different races, what are you taking into the two major races that Women Win Wisconsin, both for Wisconsin Supreme Court with Janet Protasiewicz and for Senate District 8, which is a big deal, but is not getting necessarily as much press. And I know you're very involved with both of those races right now, right? So what are some of the takeaways that you're taking into organizing around these two elections?
Well, I think something that we saw firsthand is that showing up matters. Mm-hmm. And we can't just rely on Madison and like Milwaukee to win these, for example, statewide elections. And so as a result, we've got to show up in these communities, talk about our values, because something that I have heard over and over again, it's like rural versus urban Wisconsin. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want clean water. We want to be able to make our own healthcare decisions. And but we've got to show up and build trust and talk about this. And that's exactly now what we are doing in this spring election by doing these rallies for our rights across the state. And we're doing it right now in six communities to really motivate, inspire, and engage people that their rights are under attack, but their voice can matter when they vote in this election on April 4th.
So that's a good segue. So let's hear more about the different rallies that are coming up. And I think there's six in total.
Oh my gosh. We are hitting the road, Kristen. In fact, my husband said, he's like, are you fully on the campaign trail now, Sarah? I thought you got on to that. But yeah, they actually start this weekend. So we are doing our first rally in Appleton on Saturday, the March 11th. And then on March 12th, we're going to the other side of the state and doing a rally in Eau Claire. And then on the 18th, we're going to be in Green Bay. And then the following weekend, we're going to be in Madison and then La Crosse. And then we're going to wrap it all up and end with a big rally for our rights in Milwaukee on April 1st.
Nice.
So, yes. No, we're really excited about it.
And so who's all, like, are you having special guests at each one? Or is, like, how often are, like, is there other, yeah, like, who else is, like, what can people expect once they get there?
Well, so it's funny. I was recently talking with an organization that's statewide, and they said, so can we attend one of your planning meetings? And I'm like, which one? We do six. And they're like, wait, six? And I'm like, oh yeah, we do at least six a week, because each one is really kind of customized based on the local leadership, local leaders, and kind of where we, again, can best fit their needs. It's not like I'm in a van traveling the state. We literally have kind of customized it based on the community. But part of it is to uplift voices within that community. So people are sharing their stories for the first time. Like a woman, for example, in Western Wisconsin, she had to have an abortion a few days after the Dobbs decision was overturned. And she was sharing with me just the horror of her on her cell phone with the doctor, trying to figure out where does she go, because she's about to go septic. So it's women that are sharing their own stories, but at the same time, it's people in the medical community. You know, we have doctors that are talking about how this is impacting their career and their just ability to uphold their oath as doctors and, you know, protecting the health of these women. We also are having, you know, med students talk about, like, they're now thinking about, do they stay in this state if we're not willing to respect science? And we know most of our med students are actually the ones that serve in our rural hospitals. And then we have people from, like, rural hospitals talking about how this lack of access has really affected reproductive health. So it's a bunch of different speakers. But one other piece, Kristen, though, I want to emphasize is while we are sharing stories and really humanizing the effect that this has and the attack on our rights, we're making it fun.
Okay.
And so we're also going to have performers. So local performers are going to be there singing, and it's going to be a very family friendly rally. So you and your friends or your kids, like, you know, you can always start teaching someone how to be an activist. They're never too young for that. So.
Our guest is Sarah Godlewski, the former state treasurer of Wisconsin and former candidate for U.S. Senate and the founder of Women Win Wisconsin. Sarah, I just think it's really important to emphasize, too, that the right to an abortion is not the only thing that's on this ballot for April 4th, because they're going to come for contraception and they're going to come next for IVF. And like all of the people who have fought against any kind of gun safety saying they're going to come for everything. That has never happened with guns, but it is going to happen with women's reproductive freedom.
Well, and we're seeing these attacks happening right now. I mean, most recently, Walgreens, like the most common pharmacy in Wisconsin, has basically said, you know what, if an AG might be threatening to attack medical abortions, which has been approved by the FDA for decades and incredibly safe, they're just not going to dispense the medication. I mean, we're having corporate America now, like, just fold to, you know, these ridiculous political potential threats. And that's like where we are. And this is a major way in which women can get healthcare. So I think, Jane, you know, you're right. Like, we know these attacks are only going to get worse. And I mean, whether it is women's reproductive care, we know, like, marriage equality, we have seen attack on voting rights. And, you know, one of the other attacks on rights that I talk about that I think sometimes goes unnoticed with this Supreme Court election is water rights. I mean, right now, going through Wisconsin's court system is, do corporations, should they be held accountable for PFAS, you know, those forever chemicals that are poisoning our lakes, poisoning our riverways? Right now, we have over 50 communities that have above PFAS recommended drinking levels. So this is toxic. And that could go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so corporations aren't going to take responsibility for the pollution that they've caused in, you know, our freshwater state. So
that, that does explain a real big donation that just went to Dan Kelly's campaign by a certain pro-business group in Wisconsin.
Are you talking about, could it be the WMC?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
what was it? $3.5 million? I mean, imagine what that could do for Wisconsin. I said, oh, by the way, the Republicans refuse to expand Medicare for new moms because it's, you know, really pricey. But yet they can pay over $3.5 million to elect one of their buddies. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're the last 10 states, one of the last 10 states that has not expanded
Medicare.
Yeah. And literally released today, Wyoming now is going to be expanding.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Medicaid. And I think Arkansas now just said that they're going to expand Medicaid because of the new mom benefits. You know, one of the big things is that expanding Medicaid will give new moms coverage for potentially up to a year at their most, you know, at the most critical time when they've just had a child. But, you know, crickets from our Wisconsin GOP, crickets.
And so, Sarah, when, because I always think about this in the tool bag of organizing, when you canvass and you go door to door, you pick up the phone, you donate. So where do you feel like rallies, like why pick rallies as far as what your organization, Women Win Wisconsin, why was this, not that you're not doing other things, but as far as like this is this six different planning committees, six different rallies, like what role do you feel like in your experience is the value that they provide for the people who attend, and is it a ripple effect?
That's exactly it, is that we, how do you make change? You make change at like the kitchen table, or when you're at the coffee shop talking to friends, or when you're getting your hair done. And the best way to do that is by motivating and inspiring folks. And while they can watch all these commercials, I really believe the best way to do it is to have them join a community event where people feel like they are a part of something that they feel so committed to, but it's bigger than themselves. And so that's exactly what we are doing with these rallies, is creating this opportunity for people to learn more and to be good advocates in their own way. Because we know that this is not a once-off issue. A majority of Wisconsinites don't want their rights attacked and are looking for ways to really stop this. And so an opportunity to get involved and bring friends and family along and do it together.
Absolutely. And I think, because I always think that's, you know, I remember flashing back to early 2017 when the joke was protest is the new brunch. because it just felt like there was something like protesting. But I think that it was like conditioning for a lot of people who were newly activated into politics, myself being one of them, of like kind of always caring, but on the periphery. And then all of a sudden, knowing a lot more and being way more involved. And so it's interesting to see how much that ethos has maintained of people. It's not just kind of a fringe thing anymore as far as like using it as an opportunity to actually organize and create community.
And I think especially after Dobbs, women and allies were like, what can I do? And I think they're continuing to try to figure out what can I do? And I think this is a really unique opportunity to kind of get people engaged and also link it to the election. Like one of the other aspects of these rallies is early voting. And so we're doing it at a time when you can early vote. Mm-hmm. Like the Madison event, we are doing it very close to an early voting site. So we can just walk on over and everybody can in-person early vote. You know, same thing with Milwaukee, right up by a building where we can just walk on over and everybody can early vote or can register. Trying to make it convenient.
Absolutely.
So there's no excuses. Everyone can say, we can go and vote right now.
All right. Our guest is Sarah Gajewski. She's going to be here when we come back. If you have a question for her, feel free to text or call 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking to Sarah Gajewski about Women Win Wisconsin. How do you? I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who keeps screwing it up, but the three W's, does it ever trip you up?
Oh, for sure. And then when we put WWW in documents, people are like, is it worldwide? West?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like we thought, ooh, Women Win Wisconsin, it kind of rolls off the tongue. And then you're like, wait, is that too rolling off the tongue?
And it's also funny because it's true. Like in the reality of being a swing state, especially in the fall election, and this was going to be one of my questions as far as the women you've talked to, the women who've come out either in the organizing you all were doing in the fall or organizing coming up in the spring, how many of them are Republican women?
Well, I think that's where it has been so encouraging is how many conversations that I have had with independent or Republican women who are, first of all, very proud of their, you know, there are an independent, and same with like these Republican women, but they're like, this has gone way too far. And the extremism is not where I want to be. And that's not like for myself or for my family. And I think that's what's been so encouraging is how many conversations I have had with these independent or moderate Republican women.
Absolutely.
Stephen from Green Bay is on the line at 844-967-2789. Stephen, what do you want to say?
Hello, Sarah. I've actually been looking forward to speaking with you for quite some time. And I just kind of wanted to say, I don't want to speak on a specific subject this time, but I just kind of wanted to say I appreciate your service to the state. And I like that in the state that I live in and I reside in, that we have a Democrat that is scrappy and is not going to get mowed over by the Republicans. And I really, really appreciate that. And thank you for everything you're doing to get women on ballots. I really appreciate that as well. So that's all I had to say.
Oh, thanks for the call, Stephen.
I know.
That's got to feel good.
I was going to say, thanks, Stephen, for making my day. And, you know, I think that's like a big piece of this work goes back to like being scrappy. I mean, after the new year, as I was looking at, okay, what can we start doing, thinking about the Supreme Court, it just became clear, like, there's just a real opportunity to do these rallies. And it was then calling these local organizers, you know, it's not like we had any money. We were just being really scrappy and leveraging like local talent and what we were hearing on the ground to do these things.
And I have to think too, Sarah, that Stephen isn't the only male ally that we have. There are, and it's easy to feel like we're alone amongst our estrogen, but that's not true, right? We have male allies.
Well, and I think, you know, Jean, that's just like a really good point that we can't emphasize enough, is that I think sometimes we feel isolated in this work, but that is what I have heard more and more, and we really need to be leaning in on, is this larger ally group, you know, these dads, these husbands, these partners, you know, male friends that are like, no, this is not okay. I mean, I'll never forget, I was knocking on a door in Western Wisconsin. A very older gentleman came and answered, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if this is going to go my way. And the first thing out of his mouth is, he's like, how does your candidate feel about women's rights? And I was like, okay, there we go. Well, he actually really supports a woman's right to choose and is really upset about the whole Dobbs decision and what freedoms are next. And he's like, exactly. He's like, they have gone too far. I've been on this train. We need to get more people. And this is, again, rural Wisconsin.
Wow. 80-year-old,
not who I would have thought. I thought he was going to maybe run me off his porch. and I think we need to do, you know, I think that's something that I think about, we can candidly do better, is building this alliance and these allies, because we're all in this together.
We have another caller on the line who would like to say thank you to Sarah Godlewski. Go ahead, Luann.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
It's so good to hear from you. I was actually just talking about you yesterday. So you are always one of my favorite people, Luann. It was one of our Women Save the Veto candidates.
Yep. We had Luann on the show.
It was fun. It made a big difference when you came, Sarah, when I got on your list and had you come and motivate me and speak up for us. It really makes a big difference. So I can't thank you enough. I also want to point out that even though I lost, there's power in losing. I got 49% of the vote, and I carry that on my shoulder for women right now. It's, you know, I got to say, one good thing coming out of all of this is we can now finally openly talk about abortion as a healthcare issue, not as something you can't use the word anymore, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and Luann, I think one of the interesting things that I have just seen in this movement in general, even within the last year, is we would reach out to healthcare providers and they just didn't want to get into politics. They didn't want to talk about it. And now you reach out to healthcare providers and ask them to share their stories, or, and they're like, great, where do I sign up?
Oh, interesting.
Even other providers who will call me and say, is there a group that I can join? Is there like a group of doctors? And this is becoming not just with OBGYNs, with family physicians, because they are dealing with a lot of reproductive health because we don't have enough OBGYNs, for example. And so that's just been, I think, something that I have seen as a real shift in kind of the advocacy work that the medical community has now been more and more engaged post-Dobbs.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with a couple minutes we have left, remind everyone where they can get more information and maybe one more time with the dates and locations of the rallies.
I mean, Kristen, you love when I say Women Win Wisconsin.
I know, I do.
So the website is at womenwinwi.com. So womenwinwi.com. And there's also a tab that just says Rally for Our Rights. So you can see where we're going to be, what time, all the location. You can RSVP, connect to the Facebook pages, invite all your friends. I mean, it's all hands on deck. And you can get that through the website at womenwinwi.com.
All right, perfect. Well, we will link that to our website and our show notes for today. Sarah Godlewski, thank you. You're always welcome back. Thank you for all that you do. I'll be the third thank you for this segment. but yes, thank you for all that you do. Can't wait to see and hear how these rallies go, and we'll have to have you back soon.
It's always fun talking with you women, so can't wait to come back.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, that does it for the noon hour. When we come back, talk about women. We're going to talk about women's basketball, and we're going to be joined by Emmy award-winning journalist, bestseller, Kate Fagan and her new book, Hoop Muses. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We sit side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.